All right, all right. It's Broker Boys. Guess what? We put the broken broker. I am poor, so is Tron. Derek, he's probably has like $1 million squirreled away somewhere.
It's not true.
Not true at all. We're all poor. One day. We're all poor boys, and none of what we say is financial advice. We're not financial advisors by any stretch of the imagination. But if you want to learn along with me and Tron, Derek is going to, you know, teach us how to invest.
I pulled a bunch of money out today. Or not today, but last week.
For the cause, though.
Yep, for my kid. But the cool thing, though, is I wouldn't have had that extra $500.
Exactly. So, you know, Tron pulled out some money, you know. And what we're going to talk about today is a little bit of exit strategy.
Yeah.
When should because Tron wanted to talk about this.
I did, because I lost a bunch of money, and then I waited, and it came back, and then I lost
money.
It again.
I did it.
So, yeah, exit strategy.
Yeah.
And the biggest one is, like, how Derek used the word, like, when we were talking tolerance level. What's your tolerance level for losing versus, like, how much you want to gain and whatnot with your exit strategy?
I will take my GameStop to zero.
Well, then your tolerance level is 100, where I have that used to be my tolerance level. And then I was like, you know, if I stop this at 50% of what I lose, or roughly around 50 to 60%, a lot of people's tolerance level is a little lower than that, like in the 40s, 30s, 20s. But mine's like 50, 60% I'll lose because I always am also, I don't know what it's called in investing, but definitely in drugs, called chasing the dragon. And I'm always trying to, like, hopefully it'll come up. It'll come back.
I call it chasing profits.
Yeah. Go for it. You know, get that money. Like, but see, I'm sitting here. I'm in the money in my GameStop stock right now. I'm in the money, and I could, you know, run away with $700 in my pocket, a happy camper. I'm not doing that because diamond hands.
Well, I think your GameStop is like a different thing than.
Oh,
it's a movement. It's not. This is no longer about investing in GameStop. It's about if.
It's sending it, a message at this point.
Where, like, what I'm talking about with losing is when, because I play a lot of option plays. I have very little in long plays. I would probably say, like, 15 to 20% of my portfolio is in, like, long plays. Another 5% is in, like, crypto. And then the rest are all option plays.
Yep, I have no options going right now. Mainly because I like playing with big dollars and every penny I have just runs right into GameStop. It's
how many?
I have 11 shares at GameStop.
Yeah, it's every time when I give them money, I'm like, here's your money for GameStop.
Yeah, I'm like, I put the ape in April right now, okay? Like, I understand the level of danger. Like, anywhere you look at GameStop, it'll say, do not touch this. This is bad. And like, I was like looking on Publix, which we'll talk about a little bit later in this episode, but it says sell, and it's like almost a sell hard.
Yeah, it's because people are trying to get your shares.
Yeah, they desperately need it, and at this point we're like, no, $1,000 to the moon. I'm not even joking at this point, but. Yeah, that's my selling point is $1,000.
Now, beyond this crazy ass astronomical selling point, part of the exit strategy I would like to also talk about is like what like good segue into it is selling points and like when you should take profits. And like again, everyone has a different tolerance level for even taking profits and like exiting there. What I am learning is if my tolerance is 50 to 60%, then my tolerance for taking profits, so like when I should take it, is around the 60 to 70%.
Okay. So, like, honestly, I can look at my, you know, AMC and it's not doing great. Like, I bought it at its latest peak.
But with AMC, I would have played it different than GameStop. I would sell at the highs and then rebuy back in because if you watch AMC, it jumps between 9 and 12. And it does that, like, every couple of weeks. And, like, I've just been watching a lot of these like meme stocks lately. GameStop's a completely different thing. Like Derek mentioned, it's more of a movement than like actual stock or anything.
I'm watching these news stories like, get out of GameStop. Oh my gosh, it's about to fail. And I'm like, oh, I feel like, you know, these rich people are throwing these news stories just to scare people away from GameStop.
Yeah, I mean, they're also trying. I mean, if you think about it this way, if you don't know, if you have zero idea what you're doing in investing, you shouldn't be investing in GameStop. That stock's way too volatile. It's not a good place to start.
You're labeling about 90% of us Redditors.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. You know, but it's one of those ones where, is it great to be involved in the movement? Absolutely. Will it teach you a lot about investing? Absolutely. Will you come out on top with profits? Maybe, like a hard 60%, maybe, you know, because one day the thing is like with a stock like GameStop is one day, because a lot of people are holding shares, that a pre-market sell-off could happen and it could be devastating to people's accounts. Because a lot of these dudes, like, you can't trade GameStop on margin because they're going to call you every single time because they want your money then. You know what I mean? To pay people, to pay, you know, so you can't trade on a margin. So options are crazy. Because it fluctuates like Tesla, where Tesla goes up and down $100 every week. You know what I mean?
Do not do options in GameStop. Like,
I would.
Never.
Like, Time out. Playing puts and then playing the option again, like we were just talking about with last podcast and whatnot. Dude, you could totally play that in GameStop. You could totally play that with AMC.
Well, number one, most people do not have that kind of cash.
That's true. That was going to be my next statement, though, is like GameStop and AMC. AMC, you could play with it with hundreds of dollars. GameStop, you need thousands.
Yeah. Well, the thing with GameStop is if you're going to get into it and you don't have any idea of investing, you should just buy shares and watch the roller coaster and have some fun.
Yeah, then, open it up and you're going to suffer. There's going to be days. There's days where I bought in at 330 and then watched it crash down to $40. Ooh, that hurt. I'm like, should I just jump out of here? I'm like, no, diamond hands.
You
only
take a loss if you sell. So diverting away from that and back into what we're talking about with exit strategy and losses and stuff. So what I have, because of my experience in playing options, I've learned to watch the dip and learn how to read a lot of this, you know, the charts. And that's why I moved away from Robinhood charts, because they're not as clear as some of the ones on Webull and some of the other ones. Especially because if you on Webull and some other ones, you can pull up like a 5-10 minute chart, so you can actually see if that like sideward trade is actually a sideward trade, or if it's just not being represented on the day chart as how big of a dip it can be and stuff like that. You know, because options can happen in moments, hours, minutes. You know, things can change rapidly. So it's one of those things where I've learned that, you know, I'm withdrawing about 50% normal loss. There's other ones that I've exited almost instantly because I realized it was a bad play. Like, I bought it and was like, I'll just take that $50 loss and move on, you know? There's other ones that I've held longer than I should have, and it's come full circle, you know? And every option is different. So if you have a plan for, like, a certain percent, that's good because you can generally use that on every single option, you know? But you're going to have to – options make you good at reading charts. Being good at reading charts makes you good at options. You know what I mean? So and then – winners, you know, obviously I try to let my winners run, and I let them run as long as I think they need to run. But I'm also big on profits as profits, and I'm okay moving on to the next trade if I've taken a good amount of profit. I like to see 150% is what I like to see. I like to see my money in and some, you know what I mean? Which normally means it has to get past the break even point and then run. But I've taken profits at 20%. Literally, like, paid a $20 option and it was up to $60. And I was like, okay, well, I can turn that into a $60 option now and move on, you know? So I don't really have a percentage where I take my winnings. Again, just I consult the charts. I feel out if I feel my, you know, the info I got on the internet and my due diligence and I feel comfortable about it. You know, if I play an option that's like 6 months out, maybe I'll let it run for a little while. But if I play it a shorter one, 2 weeks, a month, you know, to expire, I'd probably sell it as soon as I see profit, just because I don't want to get caught in the trap of it being a popular pickup or popular option that a bunch of people picked up and then watch it drop 20 cents on the stock in a matter of 30 minutes because people took their profits.
Well, like, so here is like a one option I was talking about that like brought up this whole conversation, which was Funko. So I made money when it was at $17. I made money when it was at $22, and I made money when it was at $20. Now, the $22 one is the exit strategy I really wanted to talk about, because at one point I almost got scared off where I was like, I should just sell it now, but whatever. But I did think, because Funko already hit $23, that it'll hit that again. And so then earlier this week, it hit all the way up to 25, but I sold back at around 23 because that's, again, where I thought it was going to hit. Now, if I let it ride to 25, I could have sold then, but it literally hit 25, stayed there for like minutes, and then dive back down to like 20.
Yep. So there's someone or an entity, probably like a big hedge fund or an investment group, is playing Funko. And because I haven't seen much on Reddit about it. I haven't seen much on any of the internet streams that I follow or any of the terminals that I use or anything like that. I've seen it come through the Whale Finder a handful of times now. You know, when we were talking about it, it was really funny. We were on the phone and it was literally like right across the ticker. And I was like, huh, that's hilarious. Yeah. You know, and that's when one of the ones where I was like, well, if it bounced yesterday, it's going to bounce today. So, you know, hold it. That's when we were talking about that. And like, the thing about winners is you're never going to know how far they're going to run.
Right.
But think about how many times we were in conversation about thing. And I was like, hey, if you want to take your profits, you should sell now. And then later that day, I was like, see, and then but then it bounced right back up the next day. So it has momentum, and it seems the resistance at the bottom is getting higher and higher and higher on Funko. So I don't think you're never wrong by taking profits.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And that's why I say 50%, like now we're like, if I take anything, this is the lowest I'm going to take is
sure.
the 50%.
Absolutely.
Like I said, sure. That's my exit strategy.
Yeah. Yep. You know, and then like, what was, I can't remember the other one, but it was the one that was like, it hit 10 and you were like, I'm going to sell if it hits 10. And you went and like showered or something like that. And it was like hit 10 and it was like, was it IUMBC or something like that,
yeah.
UMW, whatever. But yeah, that one, that's because of the traction on the internet. Like the people read the same DD that you did, and they were like, when it hits 10, we're going to get the fuck out. And everybody got the fuck out, you know what I mean? And that's just one of those ones where like, that's where when I use things, especially if it gets a lot of traction, if it's got like 300 or 400 comments-ish, like a couple thousand people looked at that, you know what I mean? And if you think about how cheap those are, some of those bigger fish might have been frying up some good steaks, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
So you got to be careful when all your things like that. And that's, like I said, it's a gamble. Like you're instead of gambling on sports where you're asking individual humans to beat other individual humans, you're asking a group of humans to do what you want the company to do. And sometimes the company doesn't do that, you know what I mean? So, but I think sometimes you have to learn by making the mistake before, because you'll see a similar chart, you know what I mean? Or you'll see similar stuff on the internet about a similar stock or something like that will come along and you'll be like, oh shit, I remember I didn't get out quick enough on this one. Or, hey, the same stock's coming around, and now I know what to do with this one. You know what I mean? And, you know, every option is played differently. So you have to be willing to adjust your strategy and still have a strategy intact, you know, can't just wing it. You know, you have to have some sort of idea, you know?
Yeah. Options are definitely like sports betting, but not, I could wing sports betting.
Yeah.
Can't wing off.
No,
you have too much money riding.
No. And like the thing is too, like there's sometimes where
like how you smile,
like I've seen a stock in the pre-market drop so much money that like, it wasn't even worth selling the option. It was better to hold and gamble that the stock market might turn around in the time of my expiration than to sell for a loss because I was only going to get like $17 back.
Right.
It's like, I can't even buy a goddamn option for that amount of money. So what's the point, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's sometimes like I had a pen option. I had a 140 pen option, and right before the drop right here in March, it was already up. It was up to like 275. I was up right away. Boom. That day I bought it in the morning. By the afternoon, I had doubled my money, and I was like, I just bought it. Penn seems to be a stock that's flying. You know, they were all reporting in their earnings from the Super Bowl. I was like, this thing's going to fly. And then bam, stock market started crashing. Like, we're not crash, but
yeah,
bearish.
I had the dip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
that sucked.
It did suck. And then, but here's the thing, during that dip, Penn got news that they were going to be added to the S&P 500. So that thing, and I got greedy again. I was like, oh, I'm up $75 again. I'm going to let that ride. This thing's probably not going to stop. Very next day, it went down $10. Day after that went down $10. Day after that went down $10. Day after that went down $10. It went down $40 in just over a week and a half or something like that. It's crazy.
That's not even the worst I've ever seen.
And there's two times, literally, I could have sold it, bought it in the morning, could have sold it in the afternoon for double my money. Boom, been up $500, $600. And then another time, I could have been up 70 and salvaged all of my losses. And they got greedy again, you know? So there's times when you just have to, like, you feel it out. And if you feel good, sometimes you got to roll the dice. And there's other times, you know, like, where, you know, if it's a winner, let it run, you know? So it's, and I think all options, depending on your expiration date, could be how you play strategies different. Because the ones that are going to expire in a week or two, you got to be quick about making decisions because it might not do that the next day.
Right.
Where if you have an option for 6 months to a year out, you got plenty of time for that stock to do.
I haven't bought one of those yet.
Yeah. I mean, they're called leaps, you know, but we'll get to that in another episode. But you can do that. Like, I had one going for a stock that was a year long, and it went up so much in the first month and a half. I was like, screw it. I'm taking that money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I kind of regret it because I could have, what's it called? I could have made probably $2,500 more if I would have just left it till now, you know, but I didn't. One thing, so in my early days, I was playing a Apple option back before the split, when Apple was around 210-ish. I was playing a yearly option that by Christmas time, that it was going to be 250. At Christmas time, it was trading at $378 or something like that, right before the split. And I decided that I wanted my money to invest into more options, and I missed out on probably $10,000 in profit.
Because of the split and
everything? No, not because of the split, because I sold it before they announced the Christmas run-up and stuff like that. I sold it too soon. But at the same time, I had just gotten into options, so I loved seeing profits. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but you pay the juice on those longer ones. Those longer options, you're going to pay extra money.
Yeah, of course.
Because you have to, you know. But at the same time, you have plenty of time to make money on it. You know what I mean?
But another thing that I thought I was like the only one that ever thought about this. I'm like, no fucking way. Is, you know, there's certain stocks that pay out dividends every single, you know, like once a month or whatever their dividend period is. I'm like, well, what if you just buy the stock right before the dividend and then get your dividend and dip out? I'm like, brilliant idea. I'm like, and then I went and looked at it. Horrible idea.
Yes and no. So you have to have your ownership in stock by a certain date before the dividend's released.
I think it's like 2 days.
Well, every dividend's different. So there's sometimes it'll be a month out because it's a monthly dividend. Sometimes it'll be a quarterly dividend. Sometimes it's a yearly dividend. So as long as you're holding it any time during that year and you hold it to the dividend date, then you can, you know. But it is tricky because sometimes you can get busted because the dividend means that it's coming straight from the stock price. Like,
yeah.
It's going to take a $2 hit the day of the dividend. But if people are invested in it and believe in it, sometimes those dividends can people will drip and directly reinvest it right back in. So they'll boost the price up the day after the dividend. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so, but I love dividend stocks. I think if you're getting into investing, dividend stocks are a great, great way for you to get into investing. I think it's very important to,
I jumped in that GOF.
Yep. Love that stock. I'm actually about to buy some more here in the next couple of weeks.
Yep. I opened up the public and I'm like, oh, let's throw, you know, $50
at it's GOF. On there.
Yeah, it's on there.
Dope. Yeah, I'm definitely getting into that.
I was like, oh, cool, and I just, you know, jumped right in.
But yeah, so I like dividend stocks. I also like using applications that let me drip my dividend stocks, which is directly reinvest something. Drip. Yeah. Anyway, But yeah, so basically what it does is every time they pay you a dividend, instead of you having to do it yourself, it just automatically reinvests in partial shares or small amounts. Or if you own enough of it, it will actually buy you more shares. So say you own AT&T, and AT&T pays you out enough dividend for you to buy a new share, you'll literally get a new share of AT&T. Imagine doing that until you retire at 60. You know, that's 30 years of investing over and over and over and over again, compounding it. And then when you're 60, instead of compounding it, you take that as a monthly allowance instead of working. It's a really good way to invest. Canadian banks, if you can find a way to get invest in Canadian banks, they pay out like 8% dividends a year. It's amazing. I know Canadians that have investment accounts that are like $450,000 or so, and they're dripping like $2,000-$3,000 a month.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild. But you can make money on the dividends. So if you're getting into dividends, I recommend picking some blue collar, like Home Depot, Lowe's. Think about things that have monthly subscriptions. You know, AT&T, your cell phone. You know, think about who owns DirecTV and stuff like that.
I feel like cell phones are getting so cheap nowadays with stuff like Mint Mobile and, you know, whatever, like Straight Talk being out there. It's like, okay, my cell phone bill can be $30 a month, unlimited everything.
Sure, sure.
You know, all the way down to like $15 a month, and you still get internet. It's like, you know, I don't like they use their towers, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a lot of this money is still going to like T-Mobile and AT&T because
yeah,
you know, they split
off. I mean, that's the way that they basically pay you, is that your ownership in those smaller companies, they're now helping you. Every time some dude on the street pays his $15 cell phone bill, it trickles all the way up to your dividend, if you think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I invest heavily in AT&T because I've been an AT&T user for the last 15 years, 20 years of me owning my own cell phone bill. You know what I mean? And so I'm going to continue to invest in AT&T for a real long time. They are connected with a lot of good things. Walt Disney, another great dividend stock. Once we get through this pandemic and shit and they can start actually paying out proper dividends again, Disney is a great one to own because no one's going to stop visiting the mouse. No one's going to stop riding rides. No one's going to stop watching Disney Plus. They own Star Wars. They own Marvel. Like, they're never going to stop making things. And they have a monthly subscription now. $12 a month for
everyone that I know has like a free one though. Like Tron had a free one.
Well, like for a year.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then they own ESPN and Hulu.
Yes. And it's amazing. That's dude, your monthly Hulu subscription is paying you dividends if you own Disney.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what you have to think about. Home Depot. No one's not going to stop doing home improvements. No one's not going to stop doing stuff like that. They're always going to pay out dividends. You know what I mean? I wish Netflix paid out dividends. If Netflix paid out dividends, I would own 1 million shares of Netflix.
Probably not 1 million, but...
Eventually. You would love to get 1 million. But the point of dividends is to get enough shares so every single time it pays out a dividend, you're getting another share.
Yep.
Or on your way to getting another share. And then that way, it compounds itself and you never have to touch it again. You let it go for the next until whenever you're ready to use that for something. And you think about it, you know, by the time you think about AT&T, if it's like $30 stock, right?
Yeah.
You buy $300 to $400 every couple years until you can get enough in the dividend to pay for one share. And when that happens, you just let it run.
Yeah, you don't even have to invest in it anymore.
Yep.
It's investing in itself.
Yep. And I mean, if you want to, you can get it to where it buys 2 shares or 3 shares every time it has a dividend.
Like I want to get like 100 shares of this Goff.
Yep. So my financial advisor owned enough shares of Apple that when it split, he almost went into 5 digits worth.
It's pretty good.
But he's also been investing in Apple since the 80s. He owns enough stocks and dividends that he drips over $4,000 a month. And that's why he doesn't work anymore, because he gets a $4,000 paycheck from his stocks every month.
Damn.
Yes. So, again, they're tricky to get into, but once you get in, and as long as you're using it in the long-term holding, it's great. I like half my holdings are drip stocks and are dividend stocks because I love it. I just think it's such a great thing to get into. And you can buy ETFs. A lot of ETFs will give you dividends, like SPY. SPY is a great ETF to own because it pays you like $8 dividend every time it pays out. It tracks the S&P 500, so as the market's up, it's going to go up. If the market's down, it's going to go down. It's amazing. It's one of the best ETFs.
Well, the second like GameStop, you know, dumps and gives me all my money, then yeah, it's going to go into stuff like SPY and, you know, Goff and
yep.
Dividend stocks. I'm going to be done with these meme stocks because it's really dumb.
let me look at this real quick. There's one company
like RKT is another one I'm looking in.
Rocket's cool. It's a new mortgage company.
It's an old mortgage company.
Well, newer to the market now that it's getting pumped. They're called REITs, Real Estate Investment Trusts.
Yeah.
They're great for people that want to invest in real estate, but
they don't have the whole money.
That, or they don't want to own it, or they don't want to have to deal with being a landlord or something like that. This one is called, so on Stash, this is called Delicious Dividends. It's, what is it called here? Give me your ticker. What do you call it?
I don't have Stash inside my tablet.
It's the Schwab U.S. Dividend Equity ETF. Basically, it's just a group of stocks that pay out really good dividends. It's an ETF, and it trades somewhere between $30 and $40, and every month you get a dividend.
Okay.
So I recommend that one. Not financial advice, but I like that one. I'm invested in it. Pretty much for me, if I'm holding it, it's either long term because I believe in the company, or it's dividend because I want you to keep paying me for the rest of my life. You know.
Well, I mean, like if the company goes under, then
it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll probably sell it before it goes under. You know, I watch the market enough to know. But going back to REITs, they're great because, you know, getting into certain different companies, especially ones that are putting up housing projects and stuff like that, or different, you know, big new apartment complexes and things like that. Like you can get into companies that are doing those things through REITs and get paid off of the monthly rent in those places. There's actually an app I've been looking at called Fundrise, and you have to put in $500 as a minimum investment.
Okay.
But you actually own a part of a building being built somewhere. You're actually an investor in real estate. And you can go from, I think it's like 500 to 5,000 to 10,000 to 20 to like max unlimited amounts. And you can literally get a picture of your building being built and which part you own and stuff like that. And then you start getting paid off of ownership of that building.
Yeah. I mean, if it's like in San Francisco, it's like you own this brick. Congratulations. Yep. Yeah.
That's cool. I know it's dumb, but that's so cool.
it is. No, like I've heard about the REITs before, and I'm like,
they pay out. Most REITs pay really good dividends, so it's a decent thing to look into. And dividend is totally boomerish and totally old school. Totally,
but it works.
It does work, and there is a great community on Reddit for dividends.
What is it? r/dividends?
Yes. And it's great. And there's a couple other ones. You know, you can go on there with your portfolio, and they'll critique it, tell you some advice. There's a bunch of different ETFs that you wouldn't think would be like, they seem really,
I had $20, so I just bought some SPY.
Nice.
I know it's not, I can't
in right the now. Middle of the podcast. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
On Stash. I was just nice. Like, all right, I believe in it. Let's do it.
SPY is great. It tracks the S&P 500, which is, you know, what the market thinks to be the top 500 companies at the time. I think it's a great, great thing. I think it's going to be really, I mean, I've been investing in it. Again, it's a little bit boomerish. But it is one of those things that it's never not going to be around.
It brought up my diversity in my portfolio.
Boom. That's how you do it. It's important.
Like 5 points.
Nice. But yeah, so it's, you know, if you don't want to get in real estate, REITs are a great thing. Again, if you want to learn the stock market, dividend stocks are great because a lot of dividend stocks don't bounce and they don't normally have a lot of volatility. Some do. one of the cool things, over the summer, there was this company called LORL and it was Loral Space. They do satellites and stuff. And they offered a one-time special dividend of like, I think it was like $4 a share. And I bought enough to get myself some free shares. And then since then it's gone from $22 to almost $47.
God damn.
Yep. So those two free shares, not only were free because of the dividend, but now they're free profit because the stock has gone up $20. You know what I'm saying? So my initial investment of, you know, $200 to $300 has now not only turned into pretty much doubling that in money wise, but now there's free shares in there too. You know? So those are things to keep your ear to the ground for and like think about and talk about, you know, when you're looking at stocks on the internet, is if they're ever going to do a special dividend, is it, you know, monthly, is it quarterly, is it yearly? You know, I like monthly dividends right now because I'm trying to get as much wealth as I possibly can as fast as possible. So the more they're going to pay me, the better, you know, Quarterly dividends are nice, but they're just slower. Same thing with yearly. Yearly dividends are normally bigger, but they're slow, you know?
Yeah.
It's so just pick your tolerance level for that too. You know, how much money do you want to see how fast, you know?
And like the one of the final things I want to talk about is, you know, the thing on everyone's mind, the taxes, obviously. You know, you get, you know, all this money. Yeah, cool. You know, don't go out spending it right away, because guess what? The tax man's going to come around the corner.
Yeah, Uncle Sam's going to come back and get his money. So what I do with when I win on my options, for every $1,000 winner I have, I put aside $100 in cash, and I just leave it in an account. Sometimes it's a savings account. And that way, I'm making money on my savings for my taxes in a savings account. I know it's 1%. But so even in sports gambling. So in sports gambling, you can pull out $4,999 and not pay any taxes on it up to that. Because
oh, sweet.
That's basically what the law says. And just like you can sell something for $9,999 and not have to pay any taxes on it, even if the bank teller goes, oh, what'd you sell that for? Oh, I just sold some ATVs. Oh, man, I just got rid of my boat. And they don't have to report it to the IRS because it's not at the legal limit of where it is.
I thought it was $9,999, like just under $10,000.
Yeah, did I not say that?
Yeah. You said $4,000.
No. Well, sports gambling is different.
Okay.
I think sports gambling is different. At least when I read it, I thought it was at least an art. Maybe it might be our state thing for us.
Well, I mean, the certain states do not allow sports gambling.
Right.
So anytime you go on to FanDuel, it's not financial advice. Like we have it here in Colorado, so it has to, you know, be like you're in Colorado.
Yeah, verify your location. Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, cool.
Yep. I think you can cash that out at $4,999. But the difference between that and cashing out in stocks, like options, is you're actually selling the option. So you pay capital gains on that option sale.
But wouldn't it still be capital gain? Like, you know, a little bit off topic, but say I win like a big bet. I threw $100 down, one heavy, and
you don't get taxed until you pull it out.
Okay, cool.
Yep. So just like when you own a stock and you buy it, until you sell that stock, you're not going to get taxed on it. Okay. And you think about it this way. So say like you make one sell, right? And you make $80. So you're going to get 8% off that $80, 80 cents or something like that. Some real tiny amount.
Yeah.
But say you sell the next stock for an $80 loss. It's a wash. You don't lose money. You don't owe any money. It's a wash. So and the way you think about it is until you pull your money out, the government has no idea what you're doing trading wise because they can't access that information. Like they can't look into your stock portfolio and just be like, oh, you bought $20,000 worth of stocks this year. You can be like, they can't look into that until you actually sell it. They can't.
Yeah, they can't make you pay taxes on something that could lose all its money.
Yes. That's why I like the Funko play I did so much because I lost a bunch of money. And then I made a poop ton of money with Funko and it literally evened it out.
Yep. So like I said, when I have a winner of any kind over $1,000, I pretty much put $100 away.
Okay.
And that's basically, so I go by the basis of 10% of my winnings will always be in an account ready to pay if I need to at tax day. But most times throughout the year, you're fluctuating up and down and up and down, and your losses are almost always as good as your wins, if not more. You just don't realize it because you've used that money, the winning money, in either invested it into long-term stocks, turned it into more option plays, pulled it out and spent it or something like that. So, you know, you're not even realizing that even though you're winning, you're still losing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I always just go by the 10%. So I cover my ass with a little bit extra money at the end. But that's
all. You don't have to pay the tax man. You just have extra money.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, like right now I'm like looking at the tax rates for short-term capital gains. This is from last year.
Is it 8%?
10%.
10%. Okay.
10, 12, 22, 24, 32, 35, and 37.
Yep.
So up to $9,875, it's 10%.
Yep.
But if you want to avoid this, if you want to avoid these stupid taxes, you go for, you know, long term, over a year. And if you have, if you file singly and you make under 40,000, 0% taxes on that.
Yep.
But that also includes, I believe, your money that you make, yep, your own income.
That's why when you have a winner, if you ever hit a winner in the hundreds of thousands, just pick a charity and donate $10,000 to it. It will cover all of your taxes just off the top. If you, 200 grand will become 190, but then guess what? 190 is just as good as 200 grand.
Yep.
Especially when you don't have to pay taxes on it.
Well, on the long term, the 15% rate is 40,000 to 441,000.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, then 20% is over
441. Yeah, just all right, cool. I'm donating 20% of my winnings to the animal fund me of whatever the fucking cafe.
I mean, we did a Diane Fossey gorilla fund.
Nice. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, like just us, you know, dumb people. I have my shirt coming.
Do you? That's awesome.
Yeah, my Diamond Hand shirt.
That's awesome.
And yeah, no, I have to. It's what us apes have to do.
It's so funny.
But yeah, head of household, you get a higher or a lower tax bracket. You get up to $14,000 for 10%.
If you're confused by taxes, just pay the professional.
Yeah.
I highly recommend if you're starting to invest in the stock market and your accounts hits over $5,000, just go talk to a professional. Pay the $150, just let them handle
it. It's a million times easier. My mom does it for a living. And
not, you could eventually either have yourself in trouble with the IRS
and you don't not want
and that. No way out, or you could potentially be screwing yourself for years to come by not paying enough taxes where it will come back and bite you later on, or you overpay because you think you're doing it right and then you screw yourself that way. So
the IRS can garnish your wages too.
Yep. They can take everything from you.
Yeah. They can take your house, they can take your car.
Everything.
Just do not fight the IRS. It's not a winning battle. It's not a fun battle. I haven't fought them because I haven't made enough money for them to be like, "Ooh, let's check it." No. They're like, "We believe you."
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, what a poor boy.
Yep. This is the first year that I'm kind of nervous about how much and where my taxes will be out.
Or I mean that's good.
It's good and bad.
Yeah, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. It's a double-edged sword, because
hoping with all the unemployment that I collected this year that I'll be good because of the pandemic shutdown and stuff.
Yeah,
but who knows?
I mean, honestly, right. the government shouldn't have any right to any of the money we make through
taxation is
theft. But
the taxation is illegal without representation or some shit like that. Is that what it says?
Well, there's representation now. The reason why the Boston Tea Party happened is because they would, send stuff over here and be like, "Okay, here, pay your taxes." And it's like, you're not fixing our roads or doing anything. Why are we paying taxes on these goods that didn't come from the government? And so through the Boston or the England tea into the harbor. Yeah, that was some hardcore tea too. Like it's like bricks. Concentrate tea.
The Boston Tea Party was no joke, dude. That was a dangerous place to be for a while.
But now it is still dangerous because now it's bombings. But
25 points, the magic to win.
But a new, not necessarily new, a app that we have not covered before, that we were talking about a little bit earlier, is Public, PUBLIC, just spelled like normal person. And it's like a Facebook for stocks, where you can follow famous people, you can see what they're doing. You have all your stocks. They don't do partial stocks, do they? No partial stocks in Publics?
Yes.
They do?
They do partial shares, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I look to buy. Oh, yeah. Okay. Just only certain ones you can't do partial. Yeah, they definitely do. I'm just dumb. Yeah, you can do partial stocks as long as it's a certain amount of money. But yeah, I'm looking at Tesla right now. And
yeah, man. I mean, I love Tesla. I think it's a great stock. I've been investing in it since 2018-ish, 17-ish, something like that. I wish I would have gotten in sooner. But I am happy to say that one of my lowest share prices is like around like $97 or something like that. So that's pretty dope.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like I'm glad I didn't, you know, jump hard in when it was seven, like when it was like 700 something bucks. But I definitely dumped 20 bucks in, and I'm still below. It sucks.
But yeah, Publix neat. You can track some of the biggest names investing, like Warren Buffett, Kathy, whatever name, Woods, whatever name is. You can do all this kind of stuff, you know. And you can invest in pretty much anything they're investing in. You can see all their moves, which is really cool. Yeah, you can. It's great. It's one of the coolest things that I've found so far in investing.
Yeah.
And if you're a small-time guy that doesn't have a lot of money or doesn't want to put a lot of money in, and you just want to, you know, follow the greats or follow people, say you want to follow The Rock and see what he's investing in, you can do that on Public, which is really cool.
But it's only the stuff that he's investing in public.
Yes, yes.
You know, you can't see his other portfolios. You can't see what else he's doing. But anything he's doing in public, you can check it out. And there's random people here, too, that you can check out. You can come to my portfolio and you're like, oh, my gosh, Alex the Truck. He's, you know, invested in Tesla and Goff. I don't think you can see how much I'm invested in them, but you can see that I am. Yeah, you can just see that what people are invested in.
How dare you give me a bank statement update stash when you haven't given me my freaking stimmy yet, jerks.
I was in that stash party too. That was pretty sweet.
He told you to join it?
Yeah.
Did I send it to you or no?
No.
I'll add you to the list. Yeah, if you're invested in Stash, once a week, they have a little party where they give you
money. Yeah, no, I just went in and was like, boom, and it's like I got like Chase Bank or something.
Nice, yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of those little apps is they're always trying to find a way to make sure that you keep coming back and, using them and whatnot, you know?
Yeah, so... But next week, we're going to talk about cryptocurrencies, a little bit of Coinbase. Check them out. You know, explore them. See what the potential is, what the potential losses are. As always, none of this is financial advice. We're not your financial advisors at all. I'm Alex the Truck on pretty much all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch. I stream scary games on the weekends. We got Trawny Wani over here, and
At the Bearded Yeti on Twitter.
So if you want to, you know, thank him for all his knowledge, you can do that. If you want to send him money, you can do that. You know, stack his portfolio up. But that's it for this week, and we'll be back next week with more stuff. Sorry, this one ran a little bit long.
Peace.
Peace.
Later.